I am shrouded in darkness. There we go.
He has fallen into shadow.
Fallen into shadow. That's the exact pitch of Kate Blanchett when she talks. Hi, I'm Kate Blanchett. How are you? Yeah, I admit it's pretty close. All right, David says.
I had an idea. Have you heard the story about how Martin Lloyd Jones, when he came into the pastorate at his church, the church was doing drama ministry,
and he killed everyone? Yes, I've heard of this. It's called Sunday Bloody Sunday.
It's not quite that extreme
in Anglican lore. No? Oh, maybe that was another pastor. I'm sorry.
Also, he was a Baptist. Anyway.
And he killed everyone. Yeah, Jim, maybe not that one.
No, so he came in, and one of the things they would do is to make room for the drama to play out, they would move the pulpit off to the side, and then they'd put it back on for the sermonette, as it was back then. And he, one of the first things he did was bolt the pulpit to the floor.
Oh, yeah.
And so I had this idea for an ongoing bit for flogging where Martin Lloyd Jones just keeps bolting things to the floor. Like, it didn't stop there. He realized how well it worked and he couldn't resist.
So this is not apocryphal. Is this real? Or
as I understand it, it's real. I heard it, I think from, gosh, I'm not sure. It might've been Stephen Lawson. At the Ligonier conference.
Ah, yes. Ah, well, okay. I mean, not that I disbelieve it, but I have never heard of that, and I am not Martin Lloyd Jones scholar, but but I'm surprised I have not heard of that story.
I know you do such a good impression. I would think you would know that about the man.
Yeah, I read his biography and didn't really see anything in there, but that's great to know.
Yeah.
I like it. I just wanted to share with you one thing before we get this show started, David. I want to give you an indication of how much creativity has left me.
Oh,
when it comes to preparing for this show.
Right.
The other day, I woke up with an idea of something I wanted to do. I thought, this Matt Chandler guy is funny.
Hey, how are we?
He's funny because when you watch him preach, he is known for his many hand gestures.
Yes.
And I watched a short clip of him, and I thought it'd be funny to like count the unique hand gestures that he does in a short 3-minute clip. Mm-hmm. And it was really funny. And I thought, wow, you know what? Here's an idea for the show. I think it would be really funny if David and I did like a Matt Chandler drinking game where we would play a short clip and we would have to take a sip or a shot whenever he did a unique hand gesture. And I just thought, this just wouldn't work.
No.
It just wouldn't work. But it would be funny if maybe we did it with grape juice. It would still be funny because it's like, you know, I need a break, but I can't. Like, as soon as you're done swallowing, you have to do another one. Mm-hmm. I thought that would be funny. And then I just kind of realized that we shouldn't do this because it's not funny. But this is just an indication of where we are in the creative energy of the show.
You should tell me your bad failed ideas, because sometimes there can be a chemistry where I go, wait, but what if you... And then that's also
slightly
bad. And then you come up with something good. But wait, but what if you, what if we did a skit with Matt Chandler where he has to go with somebody to a China shop to buy stuff, and every time he talks, he breaks something? Like a Matt Chandler in a China shop.
That would be really good. That would be really funny. The sound effects alone would be hilarious.
Yeah.
He wouldn't notice that he's breaking.
Yeah, he's so tall. Yeah. Like it falls to the floor and he can't even hear it.
And he just continues on preaching or talking, I should say. And the person who's with him is like, Matt, could you not do that, please?
All right, you have to write this, Jim.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to do this. I think it's going to work. But until that day, we have a show to start. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Thank you, David, for doing that.
The podcast you are about to hear contains the histrionic and problematic conversations of a stodgy Presbyterian and a casserole-loving Baptist. Their interactions are volatile at times and unpleasant most of the time. In many nations, this is considered a mild form of torture. We strongly advise you to stop this nonsense and go do something useful with your life. Otherwise, if you insist on listening to this mess, welcome to the lightest form of flogging.
As the deep voice man said, welcome to the lightest form of flogging. I am your host, David, and if I had to fight a bear, I'd want to do it with my bare hands, so he would know I've already killed one of his own. And sitting across the country from me at a contractually negotiated 824 miles is my co-host, Jim, who similarly looks death in the face and says, whatever, man.
Yeah. Like, you know, whatever, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly. I mean,
that's from
have
Lost.
You seen me lately? Oh, it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Hurley says that.
Hurley said that. Yeah. Like, whatever, man. Though the bear thing probably wasn't from Lost. I don't remember that.
No, I made that up.
Snippet. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well done.
Thank you.
I just take my intros from, you know, the Office. And David thinks of his comedy. He is the original.
No,
the Presbyterian original. No, there's a podcast.
I was inspired. I was inspired to write some of my own on account of because you seem to do that a fair amount now. Like you've moved on from the Office. You often have your own intros.
Well, yes. Yeah. But I guess there's only so many shrewd lines you could come up with. I mean, I know he's had a lot of funny things, but you don't want to just take his stuff for our show intros every single time.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, I mean, I commonly look at my commonplace book. I look at my commonplace book a lot, and I have ideas in there that I've written for this particular purpose, and I just use them kind of like you with yours, Ethan Coston.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I do. But I guess it makes sense. Hey, show, we're in it.
Hey, show.
We're still here. We're doing this.
How you doing,
Joe? We're back in the swing of things, doing one show a week as we should, as per proper.
This is the way.
And it just so happens that I don't really have a lot of follow-up. And you told me about 10 minutes ago that you do not have any follow-up today. Is that true?
I know. Yeah, it's true. I even listened to the last episode.
Wow.
And
this is crazy.
I'm really tired. So it could be that when I listened to the episode for the second time today, I didn't notice anything, even though there were lots of glaring things. Oh, actually, let's look at Slack, Jim. Do you want to come with me over to the magical land of Slack and see if there's anything?
You know, I'm glad our Slack audience kind of perked up when we put our normal show in the mix. Our core audience on Slack actually started really interacting with us again. So it feels like old times. So got to love our Slack audience. I'm going to respond to a couple here. Our good, close, personal, mutual friend, Ben Robin, said that, yes, people still listen to the show. He just wanted me to know that. I agree. People do still listen to the show. I'm very thankful for that. Thankful to Ben and all of our good friends over there at Slack. And our non-Slack listeners. Gotta love them, too. We love you, folks, whoever you are. he said that the lack of show last week was not his fault, per my accusation, David. His recollection is that he pitched a topic that would have been too negative and certainly too theological for David's podcast, with little to no time to prep. First off, let me just say this. This is my show. No, I'm kidding. You're right. It is David.
No, it is your show. I said this maybe 100 times already.
Yes, we have agreed that this is my show. But when David's gone, David, do I get to talk theology with folks? If you're not able to host and I can find a co-host, do I have your permission to talk about theology if you're not here? Or does the prohibition on theology talk extend to the entire realm, the universe, if you will, of our show, the flogging universe?
Right. Well, it's tricky because I would actually be totally fine with it if Ben were a pastor. And if he were a Presbyterian, he would be a pastor in search of a congregation right now. And that would be fine.
He's kind of...
he's not ordained. That's the...
Well, a pastor in search of a congregation, a Presbyterian in search of a congregation can preach before he's ordained, correct?
Well,
am I correct?
Preach,
answer me.
Sort of, but with an eye toward the elders at that church evaluating.
So Baptists don't have an eye for
What I'm saying is
they're blind.
So this is the confusing thing.
Are you saying they have no eyes?
Presbyterian ordination has nothing to do with any particular congregation. So you can be a pastor without a congregation. You can be an ordained pastor without a congregation.
Okay. And but can you preach before you're ordained?
Very occasionally, yes.
Very occasionally. So you can preach because you are in training, so to speak. You have an eye. We're talking about eyes.
Well, and
here.
The elders there are specifically aware that like this is training. You know, they've probably read over the sermon beforehand, etc.
So Baptist elders, if they see Ben's Irish eyes are shining towards the pastorate, they could say this kid has some game and we'll let him preach at this church. They can do that too. Or are Baptists not allowed to make those decisions?
No, they are. What I'm trying to say is I would be totally comfortable with it if Ben were ordained.
But you're also comfortable if a Presbyterian is not ordained, but he can preach though.
We're not talking about preaching. Oh, we're talking about a completely different context of saying things about theology publicly on a podcast.
So Presbyterians, if they're not ordained, can speak about theology on podcasts.
No,
right?
That's not what I'm saying.
They can't.
I'm saying
they can't talk about theology if they're not ordained.
What I'm saying, oh my gosh.
But if they're not ordained, but they want to be ordained, they want to pastor a church, do they have permission to talk about theology?
When a good boy does a good thing, it's good. When a good boy does a bad thing, it's bad. When a bad boy does a good thing, it's good. When a bad boy does a bad thing, it's bad.
Okay.
Does that help?
Thank you. I wish you would have said that right away.
No, all that I'm trying to say is like Ben is looking for a congregation to ordain him.
He is.
That's what he's doing. And if he were a Presbyterian, this would have been the other way around. He would have gotten ordained and then he would have looked for a congregation to go to. And so he would be, if he were a Presbyterian, I'd be totally comfortable with him like being on our show talking all about theology because he's an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I care?
Yeah.
You know, that is when God says, this is a guy that you should listen to. Right.
Yes.
So anyway, I have any control.
So I can't talk about theology with my friends. Okay.
I'm going to do some political finagling here and just say, I would prefer that you don't, but if it's an episode that you're doing without me, I don't think that like I have the power to say, no, you may not do that. So, if you want to honor my wishes, you could keep it minimal.
You know why?
What?
Because you're not the boss of me.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's up to you, Jim. You know,
but I'm going against your wishes.
You know my desire.
I do. I know the desires of David's heart. If there's one thing I know after 100 and however many episodes we've done,
29?
Is I have finally unlocked the keys to David's desires in his heart.
Say
okay.
That again?
Okay. Well, it's true. I have. All right. Well, now that issue is settled. But all I really wanted to say throughout that whole thing, David, is that actually it is still Ben's fault that we didn't have an episode 2 weeks ago.
When a good boy does a bad thing, it's bad. Yeah, exactly.
Yes. He also said at one point in this week's episode, it sounded to me like Jim accidentally called David Data, which I found fitting and hilarious.
That wasn't accidental, was it?
No, it was on purpose. I, every now and then, David, can get off what the kids call a cookie, a zinger, a good one. And I did there. And it was beautiful. Does the analogy fit better now? Data is what I said. And yes, to answer your question, Ben, it was on purpose. But hey, I like Data. Data is a beloved character in the Star Trek universe, as is David. David
is
a beloved character in the Star Wars universe. Did I say Star Wars? The Star Trek universe.
Yes.
Although David or Data would be well beloved in the Star Wars universe if they were there.
By whom?
Like C-3PO and Data would be a good pair. Anyways, so I think that's all I got. There was a troubling development. Our good close personal mutual friend Brad agreed with you. He also seems to have a low view of talent and thinks that Mozart just got to where he was because of hard work. I'm kidding. That's not what you said. I know. But I'm just saying, I'm just troubled at this development. Do you have people following you in this very
They're
dark,
not following me.
Strange
he got there first.
Path? Well, I just believe that it's just my opinion that this is troubling.
Right.
And we need to find a higher view of talent. We'll do that in another day.
All right.
But I just want to say I'm troubled by this and I'm very disappointed,
Jim,
in both of you.
We should
all
interrupt. We should
Everyone.
Interrupt the 12 rules, and you should find some blog articles or something that we can discuss. Give me some reading materials. I may do the same for you, although I'll probably forget, and I don't care that much, but...
Yes.
Yeah, we should talk about this next episode. That's
David finally tells me the truth.
I decree next episode we will talk about this.
Okay. And by the end of it, I will have convinced you of something. I've never been able to do that before, but I will be able to convince you...
Haven't you?
...that Mozart is special.
I feel like
I
you've convinced
Moses.
Me of things on this show, largely about like what we should do on this show.
Okay. Like I convinced you to do funny stuff, and you said, okay.
Yeah, it's true. This show was originally going to have skits and bits.
Yeah,
and here we are.
We have them.
Here I am writing 2,400 words for one.
Yeah, and I'm tired of writing them. So this is weird where we're at.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's technically all I got. So thank you.
Do you want to start? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I do have just the last episode. I had a piece of follow-up that I didn't understand what it was, how I had misspoken and set alarm when I meant timer. And I said that I bet Brad will know what I'm talking about. And he did.
Didn't I say that, though? Did I say
just now?
The only people that would... I think that's what I said. I said the only people that will care about this is you and Brad and Dr. David Lashush.
Oh, that's true.
And by the way, David is not in on the joke yet because he didn't hear that, because it is true. He doesn't listen to these episodes anymore. I don't want anyone to say anything to him. I want him to figure this out or get like
he commented on our most recent episode in the Slack.
But it wasn't you can do that without listening to the episodes, which is what I think he's doing.
But
he's a friend of the show.
Oh, you're
and he's
right,
still interacting with us on Slack. So if he heard the show and heard that comment about him, he would have made reference to it, but he didn't.
All right.
He doesn't listen to the
show. Well, let me just say that I think C is a superior programming language to C++.
Great. I think follow-up's done now. Thank you, David.
I said that. I said that because it's a trap. The good doctor will have to respond to that.
Oh, good. So, yeah. Okay. More bait. I like the bait. Mm-hmm. We need to send as much as we can to him. And when he finally listens to this, years on down the road, and you, both of us are gone.
Dead.
I am dead with diabetes, and you said that. And you'll be in Florida doing whatever it is you do in Florida.
I just went to a conference.
I'm not saying anything. You said it.
What?
I'm just saying you'll be in Florida.
Is there something mysterious about like the state of
Florida? It's warm there.
Yeah.
They have the sun. They have the Everglades. They have alligators. There's lots of things to do. They have meth. And there's so much to look forward to when you move to Florida.
Oh my gosh.
They also have Florida men. They have Florida men. Men from Florida everywhere down there.
That is true. Florida man wreaks havoc.
Yes, he does. Anyways, we should go. Boy, what a weird show today. This is just a show that we put out when we have nothing to say. And we just do shows like this, which I kind of like. I like this. Anyways, moving on.
Enough weird stuff. Let's do a skit.
Let's get down to business. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have a skit to do. It's a Flogging Cinematic Universe episode day. We're going to debut, as they say, a new, I don't know what you call it, David, like a skit series or a new story. I'm not sure what this is, but we're going to do the long awaited Jim and David on the Run. And today's going to be part one. We've been wanting to do this series for a long, long time.
Yes.
We're just finally getting around to it. So Jim and David on the Run, part one, will be starting today. I hope you enjoyed. Did you want to say something before
earbuds near you? I was just going to say, you know how the Marvel Cinematic Universe started off with that Hulk movie, and then they ended up.
I guess you're right.
Like that, retconning.
Was that technically
and
the first one?
Casting the Hulk.
We're talking about Eric Bana when he was the Hulk, right?
I think so. There were like three Hulk movies that came out relatively close together.
Yeah.
The first one was completely unrelated. Then there was one for the MCU, and then there was another Hulk movie where they recast David Banner.
I think there was only two, David.
No,
the first
one
was Eric Bana. The second one was, what was his name? Goodness me. Edward Norton. Edward Norton. That was the MCU version. Because Iron Man made an appearance at the end. The general guy, William Hurt, who played General, I can't remember his name, the father of Betty, the love interest, he was in that. And that was an MCU one, but they changed the actor to, what's his name? I can't remember people's names, Mark Ruffalo.
Okay, so there was a movie that came out in 2008. Then there was one that came out in, oh my gosh, why is this so hard? You know what? There was a movie that came out in 2003, then in 2008.
Okay.
And then there was a third Hulk movie. Wait, what was...
I don't know about that, my man.
I don't know about you, my other man. So the movie that came out in 2008, Edward Norton played Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was one that came out in 2003.
Yep, Eric Bana.
All right, I give up. Anyway,
because I'm winning. That's why you're giving up. It's because I'm winning.
I'm also just very confused because I could have sworn there was another.
There's not a third solo.
Huh?
There's not a third solo. Maybe you...
I'm thinking of the sequel. I thought that the actor changed in between the first Marvel Cinematic Universe movie and the sequel, but I guess that's where I went wrong.
Yes, the sequel is the MCU movie. The first one is the non-MCU movie, but they did change actors.
Okay.
But they changed the actors again into the third appearance of the Hulk, which was in Avengers.
I see. Anyway...
which is not a Hulk movie.
All of
I
this...
know you're, this is hard for you, I know.
All of
but
this...
I just want to bask in this. Write about Hulk movies and paedobaptism. Only two things I've ever been right on. That's about it.
All of this is to say that the last episode we did was sort of a prelude to what we're getting into. And that Jim and David on the Run is a prelude to the establishment of what you might call Avengers movies, where you get the whole cast together. So We're slowly building a universe is what we're trying to do so that we will have more creative fodder for the fires of industry.
You know, I'm pretty excited about our quote unquote Avengers addition into the FCU because we actually have Mark Ruffalo doing some voice work. No. and then David got even more confused.
Why didn't you tell me about this? Hey, wait, that's the guy who plays the Hulk. Oh, I'm so confused.
See, that's the guy you're thinking of, but he was never in a solo Hulk movie.
I mean, they thought about it.
But he would never, I don't think, well, I don't know. I think he could have a solo Hulk movie and it would make $1 billion at this point. I mean, everything they make is going to be golden. But hey, whatever. We got good movies. Anyways, enough of this silliness. Let's get into some serious skits that are high drama, they're quality, and they're going to be archived and put into a museum someday. That's how good they are. But let's go ahead and get started. Jim and David on the Run, part one, and let's go ahead and roll it.
Lou Ferrigno. That's the one I was thinking of.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess he was in a movie, but it's in the 70s, and he doesn't count.
You're in the 70s. Wait, you weren't in the 70s, were you? Hey, Jim, do you have any, like, breakfast food?
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay.
Jim, breakfast.
Oh, I believe in it. Yes. In yesterday.
That's great, but I'm hungry now.
Suddenly. I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday comes suddenly.
Is this about your family?
Why? Why they'll have to go? I don't know. They can't have stayed. I'll do something wrong affecting yesterday.
Jim!
What? Man, for Pete's, the song is 2 minutes long. You can't let me have my grief.
I just want some breakfast. Then you can go back to butchering the Beatles with temporal mechanics.
I told you. Third cabinet, left of the sink, all the way to the back, on the left of the sink, all the way back.
I looked there. All I found was 9 boxes of zebra cakes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you not diabetic? You have to be lying about that. I'll just figure something out myself at the airport. Are you still able to give me a ride?
Hello, everybody. I'm sure you're quite glad to see me. I'm sorry I've been gone for so long. Bill, I'm never happy to see you. Whenever I see you, I just want to cry, throw up, or sneeze.
Wait, Jim, he has been gone for a long time, like months, I think. Bill, where have you been?
You'll recall in the emails I sent you, I've had a terrible and unexpected bout of COVID-18. That's COVID-19's older, but generally more mild cousin. However, as you read in my detailed hourly updates, it was anything but mild in my case. Writing those emails was a challenge, but I managed to do it, as our contract stipulates.
Is this what all those emails have been about? Man, I mostly stopped paying attention after last fall when you had that kidney stone. I thought you were just being, you know, you.
Well, I can't be anyone but me, but I still feel oddly hurt that you haven't been reading my emails. If you think that's bad, I've had your emails on auto-delete since you started working for us. Have I ever told you that you have the face of someone that instantly gives money to Nigerian princes over PayPal? My charitable givings are quite personal to me and my family. I prefer we not discuss them on the air. Anyway, I can see I documented the near surgical amputation of my gangrene left leg at a level of granularity heretofore inconceivable for nothing, except for my future grandchildren to read with awe and wonder. Yeah, I'm sure they'll love that. Anyway, here's your mail for the last 9 weeks or so.
Was no one checking that this whole time?
I sure wasn't. Why would I do that? I don't even understand why we have a P.O. box anyway. We only have, like, 24 listeners.
Yeah, right. 24 listeners. That's how many we have. Wait. What are these letters from the state of Washington for? We don't have an established business. I'd better open them.
They probably want to tax us somehow. They can't tax us if we don't wear pants while we work, though. Right? Well, that's defamation. Or something.
Have you not been paying taxes since the COVID lockdown started?
Ha, sure. Only since then, amateur.
Wait, hold on. This is a cease and desist order. It says, it has come to our attention that your podcast, The Lightest Form of Flogging, represents a disturbance to the peace of the state of Washington. Please cease and desist or pay a fine of up to $35. Dang, this was like 8 weeks ago. I guess one of these letters is going to be... Yep, it's a fine. And this one is just from a few weeks later. Looks like it's from collections. I guess we got to scrape together $35.
I covered your flight out here. I'll let you get this one.
Oh, that sounds fair. Wait, what's this from? Is this from the federal government?
Perhaps someone from D.C. is taking up your case and will defend you against this tyrannical state. What the heck are you doing with your face? I'm trying to wink.
It just looks like you have something really sharp stuck up your left nostril.
It looks like someone actively getting punched in the left side of the face, but there's no fist.
Hold on. These letters are not in support of us. It's just a bigger threat. $3,500. We might just have to end the show. I don't have $3,500 laying around. At least, not that isn't earmarked for future Apple products.
Yeah, I hear Apple's new USB cord is going to be around that much.
Not now, Jim. Why are they picking on a show with only 13 listeners?
I thought you said we had 24.
Yeah, 24. Sorry, misspoke. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Hold on, there's one more. Oh, it's from Papa John's. Looks like two mediums for $5 each. That's not bad.
Dibs.
Fine. Oh, wait, here, there's something on the back of it. This is from the White House.
Just give me the coupon. Give it to me. Give that back, Bill.
Well, both of you, knock it off. Okay, here. So, okay. This is from Joe Biden himself. This is really weird. It starts out stating that President Biden has declared war on our podcast. I guess $9 million were set aside for it in the most recent stimulus bill.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. Then it says that what follows was written by Biden himself. But it just seems kind of like it's, I don't really understand. Here, I'll just read it. It has come to my antenna that your pods have been burnt like my cheeks looked playing Mall Santa in 87. I would look at the kids and they would look. And they would say that what they wanted on my lap. On there, they would sit and then the gifts. The gifts were of great, great value for you and all Americans. Please stop. No, seriously, stop the pod for the children. Love, Joe. Then it has his signature. Oh, wait, there's a postscript from Kamala. It says, oh, no.
What, a $9,000 fine? Or are they sending seals? Those guys are incredible. I just read a book about them. Did you know that they can hold their breath?
Jim, listen to me. I don't think that future you sent your family to the past. Honestly, that never made any sense anyway.
No, David, I'm me, and I'll always be me. I know how I would be, so I know how I will be in the future and how I have been. I know what I'll have done.
No, I don't think you understand. I don't think you sent them to the past because I don't think you'll have the opportunity. It says here that if we don't comply within the next week, they'll send a special forces squad to come and take your family. Evidently, they consider our podcast to be most dangerous to those closest to us. After that, they'll come with lethal force to kill you, then me, and they'll kill anyone who tries to stop them. Jim, this was written a week before your family disappeared.
What kind of special forces? Was it SEALs?
It doesn't say.
Fine. Well, I guess that explains that.
What? Aren't you upset? That explains that? That's all you have to say?
Well, no, I'm sure this is deeply upsetting to me. I'm just self-destructively trying to play it off as nothing.
Oh, okay, I know how that is.
So I guess we're all going to die. At least my family's safe. Maybe it'll be SEALs who kill us. That'd be kind of neat.
Jim, we can't let that happen. This isn't a theology podcast, but the Sixth Commandment means we have an obligation to preserve our lives. And if listeners want to learn more about that, they can read Westminster Larger Catechisms, questions 134 through 136, and look up the cross references. Oh, and they can do that on relight.app. But anyway, Jim, I think we have to run.
That's right, David. I don't always read the Westminster Larger Catechism, but when I do, I use relight.app. It's definitely the best way to study theology and the Bible from a Reformed perspective.
Hold on, hold on. I think I hear something. I think we have to put the organically occurring ad for my side project on pause.
Take the back. Stack up on me. Where are those snipers? Red leader standing by. What?
I heard.
Ghost Rider, would you please copy again? Oh, okay.
They're here. I don't think we're going to be able to get out of here now. Maybe we can hide?
Or we can just use the secret exit in my basement and take the underground 9-mile tunnel out towards Spokane Valley. That might work.
What? How is that a thing? What?
Oh, yeah. This house used to be an SBC bootlegger house back in the day. It was one of many houses involved in a nationwide alcohol smuggling ring that Al Mohler discovered and broke up about 12 years ago. It's fascinating history. One of the reasons we chose to live here. I even store some of my whiskey right at the entrance to the tunnel.
That's insane. None of that even makes sense. You have to be making this up.
I'm completely serious. He even did a whole expose on it on his podcast a few months back.
I stopped listening to the debriefing years ago. James Mueller is just way too pessimistic.
I know you're doing that on purpose, but I don't have time to rebuke you. We need to get to the tunnel. Come on!
Bill, I know this is asking a lot, but if you can slow them down by, I don't know, reading some of the hourly reports that you sent us, that would be amazing.
While that would certainly be putting my life in great peril, after all the time I missed for you guys the past few weeks, I have to say I believe this is the least I can do. Godspeed, gentlemen. Thanks, Bill. David, let's go!
Wow, that is a lot of whiskey.
Could you shut up and help me move this bookshelf?
Whoa, there is a tunnel. And wow, even more whiskey. Between this and the zebra cakes, how are you still alive?
Who is this guy? Why did he jump on the tear gas grenade?
Hi, I'm Bill Hasinger, owner and operator of Bill Hasinger's Essential... Well, I mean Power Depot. How can I help you today?
Okay, Jim, we have to move quickly. Can you run?
I will not.
How about speed walk?
Ha! Never!
How about just walk a little faster than usual?
I guess.
Okay, I think we're in the clear. You said this road went 9 miles in the direction of Spokane Valley?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Bill lives out that way. We should be able to steal his car and drive to Colorado.
How are we gonna steal his car?
Oh, he literally keeps his keys in the glove compartment. And I have a lockpicking kit.
Hey, what? Everything that man does makes me annoyed.
But this time it helps us.
I don't care. I'm annoyed.
Whatever. Can't you move any faster? My Apple Watch just gave me a notification that I should get up and move around. It doesn't even know I'm standing.
I'm going as fast as I'm able, I mean willing, to move, okay? I suppose when you write this script, I have to deal with all these fat jokes, huh?
Yeah, fine.
Is your life stressful?
During these unprecedented times, the answer to that question for most people is yes. Yes, Hank. Yes, it is. Yes. Do you feel like you need to get away? Now, more than ever, people are answering that with, yeah, Phil, I really feel like I need to get away, maybe permanently. Are you wondering what to do with your stimulus check? Well, I'm Michael J. Phillips, mayor of Broken Whistle, Montana, and I think I might have a solution for you. You see, Broken Whistle, Montana is a peaceful, serene town. We have a lake and some mountains to look at. We have a Safeway, a Walmart, and even a nice Kohl's. And we just got a Chick-fil-A. Everyone here is really excited about that. It's finger-licking good. What do you mean? I can't say that? It's not copyrighted. I made it up. What the heck is KFC? I don't care if they sue me. Get in line. Anyway, they make really good chicken sandwiches. I like the spicy one. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, we're a great place to live. Most of us are organ donors. Anyway, yeah, great town, great people. It's a pretty even mix between cat people and dog people. Our garbage is picked up on Tuesday nights, and our mailman has a funny accent. You'll love him. All of this to say, you should totally move here. We're an up-and-coming town that's still small and quiet enough to be a great change of pace from pretty much anywhere except Mooresville. And no, I'm not just saying that because they beat us in softball every year. Phil, stop giving me that look. You know that look I'm talking about. Here, it's this. See my face? I'm doing the look. Yeah? You see it? I'm doing it right now. Look at me! Oh, never mind. So yeah, you should come here and live here. Come to Broken Whistle, Montana. It's unavoidable. Thanks for your time. How do I take this microphone? Phil, the microphone. How do I take it off? I can't get it off! Help me!
And why is it so loud?
Just turn it off and quit complaining.
Fine. I'll complain all I want. Thank you.
This whole thing is kind of his fault for not getting our mail.
He had COVID-19 and we ignored his emails.
That's another thing. How does he end up almost getting his leg amputated with the 3-year-old wannabe virus? It just makes me... Oh, this guy. He makes me annoyed.
It's Bill. It's just... Bill. Anyway, I guess you gotta drive because, you know, I don't drive.
That's fine. I wanted to drive anyway. It's soothing.
Hey, Siri, take me home.
Country roads, take me home.
No, Siri, stop. Hey, Siri, take me to my home.
Getting directions to home.
That's not Siri.
Oh, you can have different voices. Oh, okay. I set mine up to sound like Jarvis.
Okay. Wait, shouldn't we ditch our phones so they can't track us?
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. No, I'll just get the directions, then turn off location services. Apple's really good about privacy, but your phone...
Oh, I'll smash it, like in the movies. I've always wanted to do that.
No, wait. Put down that tiny window-breaking hammer thing. Breaking your phone is the dumbest thing to do. It always makes me so angry in movies when they do that. Bring it with us, then we'll get off at the next truck stop and duct tape it to the underside of a big rig that's going to a completely different place. That way, we can send them on a wild goose chase.
Wow, that's actually really brilliant. Are you sure you don't have a bachelor's degree?
It's honestly really simple. The advantage they have is knowing where we are, but we can turn that into our advantage by making them think we are where we aren't.
All right, let's go. Hopefully, this truck stop has some zebra cakes. I never had breakfast.